Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Jesus cares for me. It seems too good to be. All my worries and doubts released. Jesus cares for me. I was all alone without a trace of hope for me.
Welcome to another exciting Looking Up show with your host today, Danny, and our very, very special guest, Malcolm Humphreys, which we're going to introduce in a little bit, and the one and wonderful, most wonderful, Shell, directing traffic again. Shell, how are you going?
I'm really good. Thanks, Danny. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you directing traffic, keeping me in line. and ensuring that our special guest does not have the scariest day ever.
That's right.
And we obviously don't have our friend Charissa. She's overseas in the land of the free and the home of the very brave. That's where she's gone with
it. Oh, Shay, can you see her over there?
I can almost see her there. Oh, boy. Will they let her in? I guess they're letting everybody in through the southern border, so surely they'll let Charissa and Justin in and their little boy Judah. So anyway, they're away, folks, so keep them in prayer. They jumped on a plane yesterday, and they'll be away for a few weeks. And then she'll be coming back and continuing on the journey. But in the meantime, over these next four Wednesdays, including today, we are going to have some amazing testimonies. And so when Charissa is away or I'm away, that's a great opportunity for us to feature some incredible testimonies of faith, how God has led and guided. And as I pointed out today on this Wednesday, March 13, beautiful day here where we are in Lake Macquarie, we have our very first guest of this four-part series in these testimonies, Malcolm Humphreys. Welcome to Faith FM Looking Up Show, Malcolm.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to be part of your radio show.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to hearing the testimony of Malcolm. I had the opportunity of hearing a brief testimony over lunch at Memorial Church a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, we have to have you on the radio to share Australia-wide this incredible story. So you're looking forward to sharing?
Yep, it's definitely not a story I get tired of telling. So
it's an incredible. And as you can hear from the accent, where are you from, Malcolm?
I have snuck in through the southern border. I'm from New Zealand.
From New Zealand. I love it. The land of the long white cloud. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, or God's own.
Yes, if you're a Kiwi, true blue Kiwi, yeah. That's what they say. So I spent 6 years in New Zealand, the most beautiful people on the planet. They really are. And if it wasn't for their dodgy weather and being far away from home and, the dodgy beaches, the cold water, yeah. I would have stayed there and lived there. So we brought home a little Kiwi. But anyway, folk, we're going to have Malcolm share. But before Malcolm shares, we're going to look at some current events in light of Bible prophecy, as always. And then we're going to have Malcolm share after that. But in the meantime, sit back and tune in to the Maranatha Singers. Sing hallelujah. Sit back and enjoy this first beautiful song.
Thank you. with words of love, take up our crosses and follow in love.
Beautiful singing from the Maranatha Singers. I love that beautiful song. And folk, you're on the Looking Up show on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon here, wherever you are listening from, around the country or potentially even somewhere in some far-flung corner of our planet. We want to give you a big warm welcome and glad that you're joining us, especially if you're tuning in for the very first time. Want to give you a big, big warm welcome and hope and pray that you'll be blessed and that you'll tell your friends about this show. And by the way, this show can be listened to at a later time just through the Faith FM website, or better still, just download the Faith FM app and you'll be able to tune in to previous Looking Up show episodes, as well as a whole host of other wonderful programs that are all there on the app, ready for you to tune into and listen to at your leisure. We'd love to hear from you, especially our Kiwi friends. We've got to have some Kiwi listeners out there. Make our friend Malcolm feel right at home. Why don't you send him a text? Here is our Looking Up number, 0488817624. That's 0488817624. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, any comments, just fire away. Let us know what they are. We're also going to have a giveaway once again. We're going to let you know about the giveaway as we go along. So be ready to text in the code word when we give that out at the appropriate time. Well, we were talking about New Zealand before we go into the current events, which are very important, but there is an important item that Malcolm brought to my attention. I was talking about the beaches there. They've got some lovely beaches in New Zealand, but literally the water is so freezing cold, and that's in the North Island. I went Mount Maunganui, which is there, you know, Tauranga way in the North Island, and I'm thinking, why is it so cold? And my wife says to me, Malcolm, she says, look out. There on the horizon, there were icebergs floating. And so that might have been the reason why the water was freezing cold. There were icebergs. No, just kidding. We didn't see any icebergs, but I almost thought I did. So, Malcolm, you went to the beach here in Australia.
Yep.
Okay. What happened?
It was a stunning, beautiful. Oh, it's interesting. The first time we tried to go to the beach, we went there like in the afternoon, and as we were driving out, we had some sprinkles of rain, and then we had a nice, beautiful thunderstorm to greet us at the beach. But the just recently, I went for a swim, and we could see these little things floating around in the water, and I'm like, oh, I think I might know what that is. And then one of them decided to come shake my hand.
Oh, they're very friendly critters. Very friendly critters.
And they don't want to let go very quickly either. So I'm still bearing the mark of getting stung by a blue bottle jellyfish.
Oh, wow. So you hadn't ever been stung before this?
No. I've seen like one or two on the beaches at home, but they're like on the beach. They're not in the water
It's too cold for them. They would have died. They somehow would have accidentally drifted there, and once they got there, that was it.
Yeah.
It was all over for them. Wow. So, yeah, in Australia, everything wants to kill you.
I am learning this.
As you well know, the animals want to kill you. Don't go up in the Daintree. The listeners know this story. I went up in the Daintree last year. When was it? Around August time. You know, that's the Daintree right up there beyond Cairns. Tropics of Australia, beautiful Daintree rainforest. Went on a hike and I got stung by this. It's called the Queensland stinger or the gimpy gimpy. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to die. It was so painful, so, so painful. This plant literally is like, most people hadn't even heard of it. I hadn't heard of it. So, and I remember talking to one of the tourists. I can't remember where he was from. It was from one of the European nations, heaps of European tourists up there. And he says to me, he goes, everything wants to kill you here in Australia. The animals want to kill you. The plants want to kill you. Everything wants to kill you. I said, at least the people don't want to. Don't go to America. Don't go to America. Otherwise, that'll be what you have to face. But anyway, so let's move on to some current events and some of the things that are taking place. And I want to give an update to our listeners. We've been sharing with them concerning this proposed New South Wales Equality Bill. I don't know if you've heard about that, Malcolm, what's being proposed here in our state. of New South Wales by the member. He's not a member. He's an independent, Alex Greenwich. He proposed an equality bill that was to be voted on, discussed, debated, and voted on March 14. So in a few short days, a bill that would completely undermine religious freedom. So I don't know if you've got issues with religious freedom and laws being passed in New Zealand. Do you have issues over there? I'm not really across what's happening.
I think we're a little bit behind on all of that. Or if it's done, it's done very quietly.
Very quietly. Well, here we've got Freedom for Faith. We've got the Australian Christian Lobby in particular, these two organisations, and they update us on everything that is going on. Because this stuff does not make the news.
Yeah, as I say, if it's in New Zealand, it's very quiet as well.
It doesn't make the news because guess what? If these proposed bills and legislation was made public to the broader population, people would start asking questions. There might even be an uprising, or there might be people saying, "What on earth?" when people really understood what was going on. So they keep it really, really quiet, just quietly maneuvering until the legislation is through.
And they give it such a nice, friendly name, like equitable.
Yeah, equality bill. Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with equality?
Nothing
we all believe
scary
in
about
equality.
That.
No, but anyway, the good news is this equality bill has been delayed. There was a lot of response and reaction from people here in New South Wales. I encouraged my church members to write, to phone their local, state government officials, and to meet with them, write with them certainly, and share your concerns and your protest in connection with this bill. And so I just got an email today, literally before walking into the studio. I took a look at this email that came through, and it was the equality bill has been delayed until August.
So there's a slight reprieve.
Yeah, slight reprieve. So I believe there's been a lot of discussions there in Parliament due to the amount, thousands of letters that MPs have received and phone calls and visits regarding this bill. So praise the Lord for that.
That means that they'll have to make a few adjustments too to try
exactly
to get
right.
it through. It'll still be bad, but it'll obviously be tweaked a little bit, so it won't be quite as bad
yes.
for the next attempt. But yeah, we have to keep trying. If you haven't written in yet, make sure you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't written it yet, go and write into that. I'll try and get some of those details to you as soon as I can regarding where you can, because I don't have that right here on hand. But it says here in this email from Freedom of Faith, it is clear recognition, that is, after this bill has been delayed, is clear recognition of the complexity of the bill and the massive risks that it posed to women, children, parental rights, and religious freedom. So that's where we were. Now, today as well, it's all happening today, Wednesday, March 13, the New South Wales government, that's the Labor government that we have under Chris Minns, they introduced into our government today a conversion practices ban bill. So we've got some of these conversion practices bills already. We've got a horrendous one in Victoria. We've also got the ACT. If I remember correctly, the ACT, they have also put forward a bill, or they have a bill already, and there might be one other state, WA, are considering it. But this bill, unlike the Victorian bill, provides for people of faith and institutions of faith to be able to share their faith without persecution and prosecution. So we'll see how this goes. There's going to be debate and discussion, and we'll wait and see how we go with that. But the leader of the party, Chris Minns, he did promise before the election, before the New South Wales election, that he would ensure that there would be religious freedoms as part of this bill, unlike the Victorian bill.
So is this to do with, like, homosexuality conversion?
Yes. Yeah, everything,
so, yeah. Yeah, we do have one of them in New Zealand, and I'm not sure if it kept in there, but it went as far as you couldn't even pray for someone.
Yeah, well, that's the Victorian bill. The Victorian bill does not allow you, even if the person asks for prayer, if the person asks for prayer, if they ask for some counsel, if they ask for some biblical counsel, you are not allowed to share with them. It's an offense, and you can be prosecuted by the law. I don't know if anyone has been prosecuted thus far, but that's the Victorian bill. It's horrendous. Right.
So above and beyond what everyone else is sort of looking at. Above and beyond.
It's like really, really nasty. And we, you know, so there was a lot of complaints and agitation, but sadly it went through. However, our Premier, Chris Minns, he made it clear that the legislation would protect, and I'm now reading from this website, would protect religious freedom, including prayer, teaching, and consensual requests for support. So that's wonderful. We praise the Lord for that. So anyway, so we'll see where everything goes. We need to just continue to keep that in prayer and pray that God will lead and guide. So yeah, regarding states in Australia that have passed conversion therapy legislation, we've got Queensland and the ACT. They both passed legislation banning conversion therapy in 2020. In 2021, of course, as I pointed out, it was Victoria. In 2022, the West Australian government committed to banning conversion therapy, but they haven't drafted any legislation thus far. So people in WA continue to keep praying and keep your ear to the ground. And then in late 2023, the Tasmanian government released draft legislation to ban conversion therapy, and public consultations, you know, have continued. So there's a lot of this going on in this space. So this tells us that, yeah, we're living in very serious and significant times, Malcolm. So, yeah, this is where the world is going. All right, let's take a look at some other things. Now, Madonna. Madonna, she was in the news.
Okay.
Have you heard of Madonna?
I am aware of who she is. Yep.
Madonna.
I'm old enough to know
so
that.
So we've gone from the conversion therapy bill and all this craziness to Madonna. All right. Now, Madonna, apparently, she was having a concert the other day, and she shared that last year, I don't know when it was, in about June or somewhere there, she had a serious incident. She was hospitalized, and she experienced what she said from a bacterial infection, and she was hospitalized. She had a near-death experience, and she said that in her near-death experience, she went to heaven, yep. And she saw the beauties of heaven, and then as she came out of her induced coma, she was in an induced coma, she could hear herself saying no, no. And when she was asked, what was that all about? And she said that when she was about to enter the pearly gates, the voice was, no, you will not enter the pearly gates yet. You have more work to do. So this is Madonna, who openly mocks Christianity and the things of God. And she says that God is not ready to take her yet. In fact, no, I've got it wrong. I better read. This is what she says. She says, I'm pretty sure that God was saying to me, do you want to come? Want to come up with me? No, said Madonna. No, not yet. So anyway, our friend
Madonna.
Yeah,
that makes more sense because she said that she could hear herself saying no.
Yeah.
And the doctors, when she woke up, were like, oh, you were saying no, no.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes more sense that she rejected heaven, not the
I think so. I think it sounds like that. But anyway, it's interesting. The comment section was really fascinating. I read some of the comments.
Yes,
and people are talking about, you know, this life after death. It's out there, and most people believe in life after death.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of those mysterious things that we all are so curious about, but when we read the Bible and learn about it, it's very clear.
We also have been very much educated in the ability of drugs giving you psychedelic dreams and crazy things like that. And a lot of your musicians and things take drugs just so that they can be put onto a higher plane of thought. And it's not a heavenly higher plane that they're
going to
when they have those kind of experiences.
Indeed. Indeed. But spiritualism, we know, is going to play a huge part at the end of time. We're going to talk about that because that's part of your journey. The Great Controversy, the book, The Great Controversy. So that's we're going to stay tuned and we're going to hear about that. So you're going to be hearing more and more about the supernatural And, you know, the enemy will seek to use this to deceive people. So there's a lot more going on in the world. But in the meantime, we want to listen to some music. We want to listen to Tracy
Netschke.
Netschke, yeah, thank you for that. And she's got a beautiful song, Good Grace. So sit back, and after that, the news, and we'll be back.
People come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, kingdom come. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high, don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth, God is madly in love with. Take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where our help comes from. Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in His blood.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then. You're on the Looking Up show on this Wednesday afternoon. You're with Danny, and today my co-host is our special guest, Malcolm, and it's been great to have you,
thank you
in
once
the studio,
again.
Yeah, and weighing in on some of the things that are taking place here in Australia. We may need to cover some New Zealand news one day, but there's so much going on here in Australia that it's hard to keep up with any other part of the world. Now, I do need to give our number again, 0488 17624, if you'd like to send in a message, prayer request, any comment or question at all. So feel free to do that. We've also got our book that we're giving away, and it's today's little booklet. It's a little booklet. It's on baptism. Baptism, is it really necessary? It's a little book from Joe Cruz, who was the founder of this amazing ministry called Amazing Facts there in the United States of America that today has tentacles branching out around the world. And you've heard of Amazing Facts?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, have you been impacted by their ministry, Malcolm?
I've seen Doug Batchelor was part of helping me along the way.
Part of your journey. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, well, we're going to hear about that in just a little bit. So we've got a number of these books. We're not quite sure how many, but until while stocks last, we'll give away as many as we possibly can. We'll be giving the code word away in the next segment. So tune in and listen into that. And when we give that away, you can type that into your phone at 0488817624 and we'll get that book to you. Now, I mentioned earlier that I would give you the details of where you could write to your local MP here in New South Wales. So you need to go to the website, contactyourmp.org.au. So nice and simple, contactyourmp.org.au. Just type that in and you've got all the information in connection to that equality bill, as well as a whole bunch of information in connection with that and how you can write, call, or even meet your state MP for your particular area, wherever you are around New South Wales. And, you know, there's a number of organizations, churches, and otherwise that have sponsored this proposal, that have sponsored this action of writing to our MPs, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we are one of a number of institutions and organizations that have shared their protest as to the legislation and how this will curtail and seriously impact our ability to freely practice and share our faith. Because there really isn't anything more important. There is no greater privilege and right that we have in a democracy than to be able to share and practice your faith freely. Would you say that would be fair?
Very much. And we know that a time is coming when we won't be able to, but that doesn't mean that we should give up on the right to now.
Exactly right. So did you hear that, folk? I think that's a really good point for us. So whilst the day's coming when religious freedoms will be completely curtailed, Revelation 13 talks about that, where you won't even be able to buy and sell, and there'll even be a death decree in the very end of time when we have that final worship showdown. But in the meantime, we need to do all we possibly can to make our voices heard and to stand up for liberty of conscience and religious freedom for all, including those that don't believe.
Let's not have an attitude of feudalism.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so before we get into our testimony for today, just a couple of things that are making news. Last week we shared with you regarding Earth Sabbath, this new initiative, earthsabbath.world, whereby I'm not sure, I'm trying to get a hold of who actually is behind this, whether it's a Christian organization or otherwise. I haven't been able to find any information. If any of our listeners can find the information, I'd be very, very grateful. So earthsabbath.world is a very interesting website here that encourages people to rest one day every week for the sake of the earth. Have you heard of this website?
I've not heard of the website, but I have heard of the idea, and that from where I heard it from, it was not a religious entity talking about it. So I found
you're
it
talking
very,
about the Green Sabbath. Is that the one?
Yeah,
you're referring
to? Yeah, so I found that very interesting.
This is another one
that they're using the word Sabbath, even just in general.
Yeah, earthsabbath.world. So weekly rest, one day a week for the earth.
I wonder
where
they got that idea from.
Yeah, I wonder. Now, while I was doing a little bit of Googling, guess what else I've discovered? I discovered that the United Nations has an International Earth Day, and they refer to it as International Mother Earth Day. Can you believe it?
That's a very interesting
terminology. So this new age concept creeping in this International Mother Earth Day, and it's going to be in April this year, April 22 to be exact. So this is the United Nations, okay? The United Nations. Everyone's heard of the United Nations, yep, okay? Sure this have. Is the world governing body, and they now have an international, not just an Earth Day, but an International Mother Earth Day. So this tells us where things are trending.
Yeah, as we continue to wander away from God, we continue to wander into all kinds of weirdness in other places.
Absolutely. And this has been appearing in my Time magazine, because I subscribe to Time magazine, because Jesus said we ought to be mindful of the signs of the times. Yeah, that's great.
Nice.
That's one of my bad dad jokes. excuse me, sorry, that's the Malen cough. We all know what that is. That's my second bad dad joke for the day. I'll try and quit there. This has been an interesting ad in the Time magazine, and there's apparently a Gen Zero. So you can go to GenZeroAction.com, and they basically have this as their tagline: "We are the last generation that can save our planet." So there you go. So as you can see, I'm showing it.
It's a very interesting illustration as well.
Yeah. So what do you see there?
We've got the all-seeing eye, naturally, and it's looking down on Earth with a bit of flame above it.
Mm-hmm. Can you see that? Is there a lot of occult New Age imagery there?
Just a little bit.
See, there you go. And this is all in connection with the planet, in connection with climate change. And so this is all now it's being driven by, especially it's being encouraged through the youth. This is Gen Zero. These are the Gen Zers, okay? You're probably a Gen Zer, I would say.
I'm actually a millennial.
You're a millennial.
I'm proud of that.
You're a millennial. You're a millennial. Now, what's fascinating as well is this was in the March 11, 2024, Time magazine. Why are we more exhausted than ever? Okay, once again, an article talking about the importance of rest.
Yep.
Rest, and how we need to go back to resting the way we did. Life is too quick. It's too fast-paced. Why are we more exhausted than ever? This is Time magazine. So there's more and more of this coming through here, there, and everywhere. And at the same time, we don't need to be reminded that there is so much chaos in the world, political chaos. You know, it's horrible what's happening there in the Middle East.
You don't have to watch the news for long to see what's going on there.
No, and so the Bible, Jesus said, you know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. And so there is more and more and more of this. I came across this very interesting article, and I'll probably leave it there so we can move into your testimony and give you plenty of time for that. But this was a very interesting headline from Daily Express US. This was back in February 29, so not so long ago. Vladimir Putin's nuclear targets mapped, the 14 US locations in Russia's crosshairs. So apparently the United States have come across this information. It's been leaked to them that if the Russians were to fire nuclear missiles at the United States, 14 U.S. locations, that they would especially target. And it was interesting to see where they would target. And basically they are the military bases.
Yeah, makes sense.
The strategic centers, including the Pentagon, is one of the 14. So very, very, very interesting. And so obviously God is holding back the winds of strife.
Yep.
But we know that as we get nearer to the end, there's going to be a lot of things that will happen in the world that will prepare the world for this final showdown. And we know that Pope Francis and the papacy will be at the head of the queue. And we know that they will seek to provide for peace and safety. The Bible says that.
He does pop up every now and then in peace talks between, it was Ukraine and Russia a year or so ago. Obviously, that's on the back burner now. I haven't personally heard anything about the Middle East scenario.
The Middle East, he's put his hand up and he says, I'm here. I'm here to be part of the peace negotiations in connection with the Middle East. This just took place March 10th. So this is like a couple of days ago. The Reuters headline was, Pope says Ukraine should have courage of the white flag of negotiations. So the Pope was encouraging the Ukrainians to focus on finding a peace agreement, and that it's a courageous move forward, not a capitulation, but a courageous move to raise the white flag and say, we surrender, we're willing to negotiate something. And he's saying, I am here, I am ready to come to the table and to help with the negotiations in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. So he's putting himself right there in the thick of it. Yeah.
As much as the news tries to tell us that Ukraine's doing well in this battlefield, we always knew that Russia's, you know, it's still a superpower. It can't lose to one country. I definitely am pretty confident that it's faced more trials than it would like, and it's probably had more deaths, but it's an inevitability
that it is.
Russia was going to win there.
It is. So we'll see where all that goes, and all the things that are happening behind the scenes that we are not privy to, but we can clearly see that we are heading to that final showdown, not to mention all the stuff definitely. Going in America and everything else that we talk about. But we're going to leave all that behind right now. And, let's find out in the next few minutes before you plunge into your testimony. Tell us a little bit about your family and your background.
Okay, so I'm from New Zealand. This is my second time in Australia. The first time was 3 months ago. I came over and I did a course called Catalyst. I guess I'll take the shameless plug of I highly recommend it to anyone, whether you're just leaving high school or whether you're a head elder. There's something in there for everyone.
So tell us what this Catalyst business is all about. What is Catalyst?
So it's a discipleship course run by the Institute for Discipleship. It's here at Avondale.
Avondale University.
Yeah, three months, and we have amazing lecturers come through. You look at different types of ministry, different church history, digital discipleship, multiple other things. But
yeah. So you highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it.
And that, I guess, was an entering wedge, or that gave you a taste of potential ministry. So now you are?
Yeah, I have to thank Gilbert and the crew there, because had I not done that, I'm not sure I'd be here studying ministry and theology now. Mm. That might still be 5 or 10 years down the track.
And, wow, praise the Lord.
And we might not be here when that happens.
Praise the Lord. And the Catalyst program is only new? Isn't yep. it? This might have been only its second.
No, yes. So I was literally the first one to apply.
The first one.
And we were the first cohort to go through. They've got a second cohort coming through this semester as well.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, folk, Catalyst, keep your ear to the ground in connection with that. It's a great program you've just heard here. A personal testimony in connection and what an impact that has had on him. So, tell us a little bit about your family.
Yep.
Mother,
so,
father, siblings.
Born in New Zealand. Lived my whole life in Dunedin. So my whole family are still down there. I was born to two loving parents, which in this day and age is a rarity. And the older I get, the more I realize how much of a blessing that was. I am the oldest of 4 siblings. So I guess that's about the only form of leadership that I can tick to my CV, being the eldest there.
So have you got a large family, a lot of cousins and so forth?
So when Christmases come together, although they're sort of separating now as everyone gets married, we did have quite a big family, you know, uncles and aunties and I think it's 4 on each side of my mum and my dad. So we've got a few different uncles and aunties and cousins and everything.
Grandparents, are they still around?
So unfortunately, I lost my last grandparent just throughout the whole COVID lockdown, which was quite tough, losing someone, because I wasn't officially a carer for him, but I definitely I was around there every day, sort of just because I wasn't working at the time. And, to have to lose him when we went into a lockdown, like I didn't see him the last 2 weeks of his life, and had our funeral in restricted scenario, the restrictions. So
it was tough. New Zealand really had a tough time during COVID.
Yeah.
They really had a tough time.
It was upside down. When there was no COVID there, we were in lockdown all the time. Yeah, but when there was COVID everywhere, we were back to...
Wow. Well, we're going to come back after this song from Alison Krauss and the Cox Family, When No One Stands Alone. We're going to continue with this testimony, so don't go away.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, and the darkness as black as the sea.
and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here.
What beautiful voices, where no one stands alone. And praise the Lord, we have a God who has ensured that we will never stand alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of time. And so no matter what we are going through, wherever we are going through, whatever we're going through, we have Christ with us. Isn't that good news?
Great and beautiful God.
Absolutely. And especially in these really challenging times, you know, that we are in, it's wonderful to know that we have a God who is faithful. Because there's not much we can put our faith and trust in, including ourselves. Let's not even worry about the government. Let's leave the government to the side. I mean, I can't trust myself.
Yeah.
Certainly my wife can't trust me completely.
Well, I hope she does.
Well, she trusts me, but not 100% completely in everything.
Yeah.
She can't trust me that I'm going to put the washing out when she tells me to, and that I'm going to remember to do the dishes when she tells me to. But God is dependable. He's trustworthy.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to give the code word away to that little booklet, Baptism, Is It Really Necessary, in just a moment. It's a great little book. It's a succinct little book. Won't take you long to read, maybe 30 minutes at most to read this book. And it's all in connection with baptism. It looks at, you know, what is baptism? Does God really care how we are baptized? You know, what qualifies a person for baptism and even rebaptism? What does the Bible have to say? What are the two requirements for heaven? So all this and more in this little booklet by Joe Cruz, Baptism Is It Necessary? So folk, here is the number, and I'm going to give you the code word in just a moment. The number is 0488817624. 0488817624. And the code word is LU, for looking up, LU24. Testify. LU24 testify. All one word. Don't include anything else. LU24 testify. So text away. We've got as many as are needed. 0488817624. All right. So we've discovered so far that you're part of a loving family.
Yep.
And you know, that's something very special in this day and age.
Oh yes.
Of many having to experience life in a broken family.
Yep. And I keep hearing different people's testimonies, and it's just like, wow, I've just been so blessed to avoid so much trauma from being in that loving family.
Oh, absolutely. And so this is not something we ought to take for granted in this day and age.
Nope.
Because that also helps set you up for the rest of your life. It enables you to understand how you can have healthy relationships and how you can have a healthy marriage. If you have seen a healthy marriage at home between mum and dad, then you have seen marriage modeled to you in a positive way.
Yep.
And sadly, that's not the case for so many today.
No, to this day, when my dad comes home, he still runs over to my mum and gives her a hug and a kiss.
Oh.
Even though my mum's like mostly in the kitchen cooking tea, when that happens, she's like, go away, I'm in the kitchen.
Wow, isn't that sweet, Shell? What do you reckon, Shell? Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart?
Very much so. That's sweet.
That's very, very sweet. So I'll probably need to take a leaf out of Chris's book. Yes. So I'm sure he'll be listening. One day he'll love to hear your testimony. So let's talk a little bit about your faith journey. Have you always grown up? Have you grown up in a Christian home, in a Christian environment? Is that your background?
So absolutely not. I grew up, and my experience of churches was people coming together in the form of weddings, or people departing in coffins.
Parting or departing?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. So I would call my house an agnostic household because.
Well, do you want to explain that term agnostic for some of our listeners?
So for my dad, he was very open minded. He grew up with X Files and Star Trek and other things. So still to this day, if you say something to him. And, you know, I'll put to him some religious thing. He'll look at me and be like, oh, that might be true. So, like, I'm happy that he's open, but...
An agnostic is someone who's open-minded.
Yeah, but hasn't yet to be convinced one way or the other. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So we didn't have any mention of religion or God or anything like that in the household. We never went to Sunday school or church or... I had one experience in our public schooling system where we had scriptural readings. I honestly can't remember anything out of it. I remember there was people in our class, I think they're Exclusive Brethren, that had permission to not be part of it. So it was something that they didn't agree with. So, but yeah, no, I grew up completely atheist. And the only experience of Christianity I had was being part of a Western society. You know, obviously we celebrate Christmas and Easter. Obviously, they got a very different meaning to what we understand them as biblical Christians. But so I always knew about the story of Christ and the death and resurrection, but I just looked at it as a story or a fable. Like I never quite trusted it as such. So I grew up public schools, and I didn't really struggle too much in schools. I did all right. But when I hit the age of 15, I just sort of struggled to fit in, like, socially, and I, you know, at that age, we're desperately sort of seeking friends. And unfortunately, that's led me on a path of drugs and alcohol. I won't glorify it, but I won't shy away from it either. That is part of my history and who I was. But,
so did you get involved at a very early age, like in your mid-teens?
So 15 was sort of when I began that. It was kind of sad because I was doing well in school, and then you hit 15 and that's where you actually start doing exams and stuff that matters. But I was just bored with school. I got relatively high marks the whole time, and it was always just revision. And I basically just got bored. And so that's sort of a sad state of what my schooling life was like.
Yeah. Now, just to go back a moment, you didn't grow up in a family that really had any Christian foundations, as you have pointed out. Did you have any relatives or any close friends that were Christian and practicing Christians that you were able to see Christianity modeled, other than, you know, just Christmas and Easter and these stories that, yeah, you didn't really even consider to be real? Did you have any influences in your life from a Christian point of view, or were you pretty much completely isolated from any meaningful Christian experience or modeling in your life?
No, so I was totally separated from it. I've come to learn that my great uncle, which is my grandfather's brother, he is a practicing Christian. He did 3.5 years to be a Catholic priest, but decided he would rather have a family than follow the priesthood path. But this is all after basically becoming a Christian that I sort of begun to learn these things. I only recently learned also that my dad was taken to Sunday school when he was a little kid. So he's aware of different things, but I only learned this like a month or two ago. So like he never spoke of that experience until basically we were talking about, you know, Sabbath school and different things.
Okay. So now back to you getting involved in drugs and alcohol and so on and so forth due to being bored and, you know, I guess you're probably searching for meaning. And did you struggle with meaning? Were you starting to ask questions like, what on earth am I here for? What's the purpose of life? You know, where to from here?
Yeah, I think a big part of it was just trying to fit in and try to have friends, because I wasn't ever one of like the cool kids, or I wasn't ever one of like the picked on kids. I was just sort of in the middle and basically unnoticed. But yeah, that sort of led me on the bad path. So come 16, which is the age you're allowed to legally leave school in New Zealand, I made the choice to leave school, and my parents were like, if you go get a job or study, you can leave school. So I enrolled for a course at Polytech, and that was sort of where I was off to. Unfortunately, I had a car crash and had like whiplash, so I missed 2 months of my course. And basically, when I did go back, I just found it too hard to sort of catch back up. So I ended up dropping out of that as well. So basically, 16, bad habits and no goals or life purpose, and very much sort of struggling, which sort of set me up to be the person I was throughout my 20s.
So before you move into that, you grew up in a loving family, as you've already pointed out. How did your parents respond to what was taking place in your life? Because obviously they would have been aware of where you were at, these struggles that you have. How did they come down on you like a ton of bricks? Were they harsh? Were they loving? How did they respond?
I think it was loving harshness. I can't say it was just harshness, and they didn't really come down on me like a ton of bricks. They never threatened to kick me out or anything.
Because you're the eldest, so
your younger
siblings are looking at you, exactly.
Yeah, and that's what I kept hearing as well, was, and that sort of just helped consolidate the bad feeling of not succeeding.
So that was that. Then you were talking about where you are, well, where you got to, and we're talking about this meaning, purpose, and so forth.
Yeah. So basically, when they encouraged me to go out into the world, they were very helpful. They helped me try to find a job and find different bits and pieces, but I was the stereotypical dropout. When I did have a job, I'd show up 4 days at best. And if you show up 4 days to a 5-day job, you'll learn pretty quickly that they don't want to keep you there. So it wasn't until I was probably like 22 or 23 where I actually sort of wrapped my head around the idea that you have to show up and you have to have a work ethic to keep a job. And yeah, so that gave me a lot of free time. And ultimately, that free time sort of led me into watching a lot of history stuff. Initially, like World War One and World War Two kind of interested me. It's like, well, what was all that about? And then, what is it? You look at a map and you figure out, oh, that's why Germany invaded Poland in World War Two. They're right beside each other. And yeah, that sort of begun my intellectual curiosity. But it was just a personal thing. It was never an academic thing in any way, shape, or form. But yeah, so I unfortunately didn't work a lot of my 20s. I had jobs here or there. And then when I did have a work ethic, I'd unfortunately be the last person hired, so you're the first person fired. If anything went down, you know, they lose a contract or just, you know, economic downturn. So that's sort of, I don't shy away from it, but I don't like glorifying that part of my life in any way.
And you were at home all this time with mum and dad, and your siblings were all your younger siblings, because you're the eldest. I don't know what the age difference is as we go down the line. Were you guys all still together?
Yeah. So I've got a younger brother who's just less than 2 years younger than me. But so I did live out of home a couple of times, just at a mate's place. actually lived at one point, and this is quite an interesting sort of story, is at a decommissioned hospital. So the friend's family, they each had a different wing in the hospital, and we were staying in one of the wings. So
That
was kind of an interesting experience.
You lived in a hospital?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I don't believe in ghosts, and I didn't at the time, but man, there was definitely some doors that opened and closed at weird hours at that place.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be a strange thing to do, to live in a decommissioned hospital. So this is into your 20s, and you're trying to work out where you fit in to this world, and you're struggling with work, you're just struggling, obviously, to just do the things that you know that you're probably capable of, because obviously you're a very capable person, as we'll discover in just a little bit. And at this point in time, you're starting to show an interest in history, showing an interest in what's taking place in the world. And did that have, and we're going to get to this after this song, we're going to take a look at where that led you to next.
Yep.
Because now is when the story really, really gets very, very interesting. So we're going to listen to this beautiful song from Jamie Lee, Broken for Love's Sake, Jamie Lee Riddle.
You've come to seek and to save those who've lost their way. So seek me or I won't be found. You've come to keep and sustain those whom you have named. So keep me, oh keep me now. When it gets hard, you go before me as a shield. When it's too late, you come behind me and you heal. Should my heart break when love's the only way, so be it, Lord. May I be broken for love's sake. I will trust and obey more and more each day as you take your place in me. And should I ever fail or stumble in the way, you will help me to my feet. It gets hard, you go before me as a shield. When it's too late, you come behind me and you heal. Should my heart break when love's the only way, so be it, Lord. May I be broken for love's sake. When it gets hard, you go before me as a shield. When it's too late, you come behind me and you heal. Should my heart break when love's the only way, so be it, Lord. May I be broken for love's sake.
That was Jamie Lee Riddle, Broken for Love's Sake. So before we went to that beautiful piece, Malcolm, you were sharing with us that in your 20s, you're now moving into an interest in history. And as you're obviously maturing in your 20s, where to next?
So just in my own personal time, just watching lots of different YouTube documentaries, looking at particularly like the history, World War, the wars was definitely something that spawned that interest. And obviously when you come into looking at wars, you sort of come to learn that what we learn in our school or what is public knowledge isn't necessarily the exact reasoning behind why certain things happen. So that sort of begun my introduction into the world being slightly different than what we've been taught. Throughout my 20s too, I tried multiple different alternative jobs. So I haven't mentioned this to you, but I was doing online poker there for a while.
Online poker?
Yeah, so clicking a mouse and
earning as a some, job.
Oh yeah, well I'm not trying to brag, but I'm one of the few players that can say they didn't lose money in that investment.
Wow.
So
you're playing for real money?
Yeah.
This was like a real job.
Yeah, no, you can win and lose money. Most people lose money, but
That's how the gambling industry goes.
Yeah, just big time commitment thing though. Like if you're trying to work a job, you're probably just going to lose money. You've got to have time and sort of educate. But so that also led into like a gaming sort of part of life where like I'd always played Xbox and different things as I was growing up, but I sort of become aware that I was quite good at racing cars. So sim racing is what that's called. I actually won Asia Pacific competition in 2020.
Wow. And so you were the Asia Pacific champion.
Yeah, on Project Cars 2. I was supposed to get a trip to London to watch the Formula One Grand Prix, but COVID hit and I ended up just getting paid out cash from that. So
wow.
Yeah, that's another like... Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore because just time, and I kind of view it as like it sucks you away from God, and the competitive nature of it is to be that competitive, you have to sort of have a seek and destroy mentality, and that's not very Christian. So,
well, because that's very addictive. I mean, gaming is huge today. It's not just guys, it's even girls that are involved in gaming. Like, this is like mainstream now amongst teenagers and young people in particular. And not just young people. There's a whole bunch of adults, parents that game, and it becomes a real issue.
Yeah. I've even heard a couple of ministers say that that's how they detox, and I sort of raise my eyebrow at that. It's like, I'm pretty sure there's better ways, but I'm not, hey, judge not, lest we be judged, right? Mm. Yeah, so as you can kind of tell, I've sort of set myself up in a not-so-great way. I've got a lot of addictive habits and things which are not very positive. But, yeah, this weird thing called COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone may have heard about it. All right,
folks, you need to be tuning in. This is where things really begin to change for the better.
Yeah. So when COVID happened, because I'd learned and I'd seen lots of different documentaries talking about New World Order stuff and how they're going to install different technocracies or autocracies. And so when we first heard about it, I'm like, oh, okay, it's just it's the start of the year again. They're talking about some other virus, you know, bird flu or whatever else, H1N1.
Mm-hmm. That's what we all thought it'll go away after a month or two.
Yeah, we have one of these, like one or two, Ebola was the year before, I'm pretty sure. But, and then was it Spain or Italy, like went into a lockdown and...
Yeah, after China. Yeah, I think Italy was one of the first countries.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But I live in New Zealand. Like, you know, nothing's going to come over here.
Most people in the world don't even know where New Zealand is on the world map.
Yeah. I mean, most of our prime ministers don't help. I thought there's no way that we engage in what the rest of the world's doing. And then when initially it was just a couple of countries here or there, it's like, this is just some far-fetched thing. It's like, oh, they'll just do it for a week or so, and then they'll just be like, it's costing too much money. Like, so no. But yeah, I went for a walk one day down to a beautiful beach that you love so much in New Zealand. And we come back up, and on the radio, our Prime Minister, who was Jacinda Ardern at the time, come up, and she was on the radio telling us, announcing that in 48 hours or something, our country was going into lockdown. And I was just in shock. I'm like, I did not see that coming, like, at all. Like, there's no way.
Well, none of us did. Yeah. None of us did.
And initially, I was kind of just laughing, like, you know, let's see how long this lasts. But then you like learn it a bit more, and I think she was announcing like a 4-week lockdown or something. And it's like, wow, that's a long time, like for a country to stop. And then my sort of mind began to wander a bit more. It's like, oh wait, like, are we, what does this all mean? And then she's got, you know, you learn a bit more about what restrictions we're having, and you, that she was literally encouraging us not to go outside, like, at all. Like,
play video games instead. Play poker online.
Yeah.
Terrible, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, what is it? Rush off to the local bottler or whatever we've got, and then, you know.
Oh, the bottle shops, they were all open. But yeah, you couldn't go and find toilet paper, but there was plenty of alcohol.
And that was just
found.
Another insanity.
Did you have toilet paper issues there as
well? Yeah,
yeah. Oh, no, I thought it was only Australia.
No. I think it was, like, worldwide. And then, what is it?
Toilet paper crisis.
Yeah. No, well,
it's got to be the end of the world.
It just showed the condition.
It started here, though.
Oh, no. We announced that we started taking other countries' toilet paper.
It just showed the condition of people's thinking. Yeah. Like,
Don't worry about water, food, chocolate,
or whatever, you know, thing that you might actually need. We're worried about toilet paper, which.
Extra soft.
Yeah. Which before everyone started buying it, there was more than enough.
Oh, I know.
But okay. So that put a sort of eventually put me in a sense of despair. I was like, wow, what's really going on here? Like, is this going to be our new normal where we're just in and out of a lockdown or whatever the government says, you know, that's what we do because we've got no choice. Like, that's just, was it state of emergency powers? They can do basically anything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I went outside and I sat in my backyard and I begun sort of what I can look back at it now and I can say I prayed. First time I ever prayed. And
wow.
I just remember sort of asking, I don't even know who I was asking at the time, but just sort of putting it out to the universe. I'm like, what does all this mean? Like, what does this mean? Where are we going? And what should I do about it? Was sort of the three big thoughts that I had. And it's like, well, yeah, this is crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. Even in all the history documentaries and things I was looking at, it's like, nah, nothing like this has ever really happened before. You had the Spanish flu. I'm not sure how much they really tried to stop that, but it wasn't by the such strict measures that we had under COVID in 2020. I didn't really get an answer or anything straight away, but just one time we were all, you know, naturally stuck at home, so you can only go out for so many walks in a day. I just was at home and watching TV, and I was flicking through the blurb on what was on each channel, and I got to one of our religious channels. It's called First Light over in New Zealand, and it had something on creation science. So it was talking about I think it was Ken Ham, and he was basically debunking evolution. And for me, that was very interesting because even though I grew up in a public school, evolution never quite sat right with me. It's like there's always a missing link, or there's always some idea, and there's always some evolution of the understanding of evolution. And not to mention, it is called the theory of evolution as well. So initially, that's what made me flick to a religious channel, and reflecting upon it, you know, as I've looked at it back now, it's not the first time I actually watched that channel. I think about 5 years previous, I'd watched something else very similar, again, on creation science. And I remember going around to one of my mate's places. He's like, oh, what have you been up to? It's like, oh, I've just been watching a creationist tear evolution to shreds. And he just sort of looked at me a bit weird. I was like, yeah. So it was initially that, and then like a couple of hours later, it had a health message on it. So from creation science into like the health message was what initially drew me into watching that channel. First Light, to explain it a bit more, is, I guess, very similar to a 3ABN channel. Mm-hmm. It plays a lot of 3ABN stuff. It has a lot of Doug Batchelor and Kenneth Cox and other such things. We've also got the Hope channel, but it was initially First Light that was where I sort of started watching.
This is on free-to-air TV.
Yeah, free-to-air TV. It's
quite amazing.
It's an amazing thing.
We don't have that here in Australia, but praise the Lord, they have that in New Zealand, free-to-air.
Yeah.
The truth on free-to-air.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and very pure version of it. They don't try and put any weird thing in there. It's just
a straight testimony.
Yeah, three angels' message, health message.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was through watching all that that I was like, okay, that sort of consolidated my mind. I'm like, okay, creation's true. Like that makes way more sense to me, you know, in a logical mind. It's like, you know, that makes way more sense to me than evolution ever did. So yeah, at that point I could call myself a creationist, and naturally when you accept there's an intelligent design or a creator, the next question is who is this creator? My sister was working at a hotel at the time, and they were naturally, because COVID was happening, they were taking all the Bibles out of the drawers and all the books, and she's like, oh, and I was just talking to her, and I'm like, oh, do you reckon you could get me one? She's like, yeah, no, they're like almost going to throw them out. It's like, okay, right. So that began my journey into reading the Bible. I didn't pray before reading the Bible. I'd never heard of that concept before. But I enjoyed the stories of creation, explaining how 6 days God created, then gave us a Sabbath. Began explaining about Abraham and different things. And the thing that really got me about the Bible was when I was reading about the death of Sarah. I didn't know who Sarah was. I'd never heard of Abraham before. But when it talked about her death, I literally shed a tear. And that was something that sort of struck me. I'm like, there's something bigger going on here than is just me reading a book. It's not just a story. Like, I've never read a story that's made me cry before. So almost a red flag. It's like something else is going on here. So yeah, as that sort of continues, I continue to watch First Light, but as Doug Batchelor or Kenneth Cox would transfer, you know, a Mark of the Beast science, or it's not science, but Mark of the Beast theology into where it should rightfully go, which is into Christ, I was like, nah, don't buy this. Like, this is a step too far at this point, and I would literally change the channel. So while I was consider myself a creationist, I didn't buy this Jesus concept. It didn't sit. I didn't understand it. Even having the Christian stories brought up in our Western world, like, it just didn't quite sit. And I think it was probably 6 months or so after that we received a pamphlet from First Light. I don't know whether. I'm assuming they went to everyone, but maybe it was just me. But yeah, it had come, and my mum had seen it. She just thought it was normal junk mail, so in the bin it went. But fortunately, my sister had seen what it was, and she told me about it. I'm not sure if you want me to suspense this.
we are at a very interesting point. So here is this flyer.
Yep.
That's ended up in the rubbish bin, yep. But we know that it's going to end up somewhere else.
Yes.
Other than the rubbish bin.
Yes.
So you picked it out of the rubbish bin.
No, it was actually my sister, because she'd seen where it had gone.
She picked it up out of the rubbish bin.
So this is quite an interesting turn.
And passed it on to you.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is probably where we just need a pause. Going to give after the news, we're going to hear the rest of this story as we bring it to a close. But before that, I want to give you the looking up code word for today, LU24 testify on the little book Baptism. Is it really necessary? That number again, 0488817624. And we are going to hear the most exciting part of that testimony after this piece of music from Alana Rogers, Where Else? And then the news will follow. And then make sure you don't go away, because we're going to hear the climax of this incredible testimony from Malcolm.
Lord, where else but you? Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have a Bible question? Join me, Lyle Southwell, after the 5 o'clock news every Thursday during Afternoons with Shell for biblical answers to all the questions from our Faith FM listeners, including you. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to the Shell Show on 0488 880 856.
Like a feather, bind my wandering heart to
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Look up.
The final stretch once again of yet another Looking Up show, and the time has just whizzed by as always. Before we get the climax of this incredible testimony from our special guest Malcolm Humphreys, who's the first of our four testimonies over these next 4 weeks while Charissa is away with her hubby and little bubs in the US, we have a big shout out. Shell, big shout out from a super fan.
Yeah, so I had the privilege of being up in Coffs Harbour this past weekend for my husband's starting a seminar up there called Challenging Religions, for anybody who wants to be going to that. But met a lady named Vivian, mm-hmm. who loves Looking Up and Afternoons with Shell, but especially Looking Up.
She said. Vivian, you have made my day. You've made my week. You've made my month.
So if you're listening, Vivian, fantastic. Hello and welcome to the show.
Fantastic, Vivian. Great to have you and everyone else who is tuning in. And I hope and pray that you have been incredibly blessed. Last time I'm giving away this code word for the book Baptism, Is It Really Necessary? By Joe Cruz. Highly recommended. A great little booklet. The code word is LU24 testify to text that word to 04-888-17624. 04-888-17624. All right, back to you, my friend Malcolm, my Kiwi friend. So this brochure, this flyer that is part of the junk mail, according to your mom, she pops it in the bin, as you were saying before we went to the news and that beautiful piece of music. Your sister happens to recognize something on that brochure, and what happens next?
So it's worth mentioning that as I was watching First Light and going through these learnings and teachings and different things, I was sharing with her what I was learning. Obviously, we're in the middle of pandemic, so every health message that you hear is quite interesting to just talk about. But yeah, so she recognized the little logo or read it and said it had First Light, and she's like, oh, okay, maybe that's worth something. But yeah, so it ended up in the bin. Later on that day, I was speaking to her, and she's like, oh, that TV show you've been watching had a pamphlet show up. It's like, oh, okay. And she's like, I'm like, have you still got it? And it's like, no, it's in the bin. And she like ran away to see if she can find it. But yeah. So she pulled it out. The pamphlet was sent to us to, if you wanted a copy of The Great Controversy, to send it back with your details and they'll send you out a book. I left school when I was 16, and it's like, oh, okay, I don't know about a book, but it's like, no, I keep seeing it advertised, so I'm going to get a copy. So I sent away and I got myself a copy of The Great Controversy. When it actually showed up, I almost had buyer's remorse. I'm like, that is a big book.
700 odd pages.
Yeah. But, I couldn't help myself. I begun reading it, and to begin with, the first chapter is the destruction of Jerusalem, but after that, it sort of digs into history stuff, so it naturally caught my attention, mm-hmm, like, straight away.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think I got more than halfway through it, and it had sparked something in me that anything else that I'd watched or listened or read had sparked, and it just made me realize that Jesus was real, and that the atonement was real, and that there was this great controversy going on between Christ and Satan, and that just made so much sense to me after looking at the different controversies of the world, looking at different power structures and hidden societies and different things and the way the world's run. And so that was the big, that was the final needle in the haystack that pushed me to to learn about God, and I was like, okay, I accept God. And so I watched a couple of Doug Batchelor things talking about Christ, and at the end he's like, if you want to accept the atonement, you've got to pray to him, ask forgiveness, repent for your previous, you know, misdoings, and ask for forgiveness, and it is available.
Now, atonement is speaking of Christ and his sacrifice, you know, him bringing us that one-ment with God is literally what that word means, you know, to be made one with God through Christ and his sacrifice by accepting his gift of salvation.
Being drawn back to him after that gap between heaven and earth being
separated. So you discovered this was the missing piece in your life.
This is the bit that led me to Christ. So the Great Controversy, amazing book, really
that's
long.
That's that book we continually quote from and promote to all of our listeners. Yep. Do you think anyone should read The Great Controversy? Is this a book for everyone?
It is a big, scary book. I cannot lie, but when you get into it and when you read it, it's got so much in there. It gives you the historical basis of why different things happen, particularly with Reformation, Luther, and other reformers. But then we follow on into the future as well, and that explains what's going to happen. And there's definitely some dark times in there, but then we look at the big picture of, and that's a new heavens and a new earth, and there'll be no more pain, death, and suffering no more. And that's the big hope of Christianity.
Amen. So when you got toward the tail end of those chapters in the Great Controversy, and you came across chapter 35, liberty of conscience threatened, you know, the impending conflict, chapter 36, and we're in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
What went through your mind? Were you like, this is talking about what's happening right now as far as the big picture? We're not talking about the pandemic, of course. Yep. We're talking about the principles of religious liberty under threat. You could see that you were living that right there and then. What kind of impact did that have on you?
You know, we were all living it. I've heard throughout other things, I'd seen the mark of the beast mentioned or explained through other teachers through watching TV. But it's like, how is it ever really going to happen? And I'm guessing for a lot of Adventists who grew up Adventists, it's like, how is the mark of the beast ever going to be installed? Through COVID, we got a very literal example of how it can happen and how quickly it can happen too. Mm. So yeah, as you said, it was very much, we're living through this, and very much just, it's like, what's, you know, I very much wanted to get to the chapters after that. It's like, okay, we're living here. It's like, what's happening after this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that, I became a Christian. I shared with a couple of my friends. It's like,
so you entered in some Bible studies with someone after that?
Here we go.
Oh, that's right. It's coming back to me. This is where it gets really interesting. Carry on.
I shared with a couple of friends, and they're like, oh, I don't know if you want to do that. Like, I think they were sort of on the agnostic page too, like not proof one way or the other. And I'm like, no, man, there's more than enough proof. Like, you know, faith, quite a few people say Christianity is blind faith. I don't believe that for a bit. God gives us that 90% and then the 10% of the mysteries of God. That's the faith part. So I continued to watch First Light. At this point, I'd never heard of Seventh-day Adventism at all.
Never heard of them.
Never heard of them, never met any of them.
So you didn't know that this book was connected with the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
No, not at all.
And that First Light was connected with the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
No. It wasn't until, I think it was Doug Batchelor, they were talking about the Remnant Church. He's like, I don't necessarily say it's one church, but I'm part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church because I believe that we hold the closest truth. Mm. And I was like, Seventh-day Adventism, like, what's this? Like, this is something completely foreign to me. Like, I didn't understand denominations or anything like that. But so I Googled it, and sure enough, thankfully, there was one in Dunedin. It's like, okay, yep, that's interesting. But I didn't know what church was or what anything like that. So it wasn't high on my agenda of going to church, and it probably took another 5 or 6 months before I actually went to church. After that period, I went to church. I never actually had Bible studies with any one person. my grounding of foundation in truth was all shared through media ministry.
Wow.
So whether that was through watching television or the literature ministry where they've given you books out so you can read it yourself. I was one of those freebies that a pastor gets every now and then.
Oh, you would have been getting the code word every single time on the Looking Up show, guaranteed.
Yeah. But yeah, every now and then a pastor gets a freebie where someone just shows up at their church and they don't have to teach them anything.
Mm.
I'd learned it all. 3 months after going, in that period, my grandfather got sick and I started going, but then I stopped going because I was looking after him for a little bit. But after we come back out of lockdown, I kept going, and it was October 2021 was when I was baptized. Mm,
praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
And it was at that period too, as I mentioned, I was sharing everything that I was learning with my sister. Unfortunately, when we got to Jesus, or when I got to Jesus, I started talking about that with her, and she literally told me to stop preaching. And I was like, that's very harsh. Like, I didn't think I was preaching. I was just sharing what I knew. But thankfully, when I got baptized, I invited my family. So my mum, my dad would have come, but he had a call out. That's interesting how Satan works. But my sister came also. And from that day, she has continued to come to church and she is now a baptized member.
Oh, hallelujah.
So that's sort of one of my big lessons.
This is the sister. This is the sister that saw your mum put that First Light brochure in the bin advertising the book, The Great Controversy.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So I.
Hallelujah.
I had a big part in
the angels
her to
would
Christ.
Have ensured that she saw your mum do that. I'm sure the angels would have ensured that she saw that.
But yeah, she obviously had a part to play in my experience.
What's your sister's name?
So my sister's name, hyphenated, is Hannah Marie. Everyone Hannah just calls Marie. Her Hannah nowadays.
Hannah, big shout out to you. Praise the Lord for how the Lord used you to bring your brother to that point of understanding and introduce him to the great controversy. And now you yourself are a part of that. And so exciting.
Yeah. So she's part of the church. She's, like myself, involved in different service things. We've got a caravan in Dunedin, which gives out food to, well, I don't want to say homeless exclusively, because we give it out to anyone who's less fortunate. There's quite a few older people who just come down and hang out for the social part of it as well. Yeah.
So you just rocked up to church and said, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I know what you believe and what your church. I am ready.
Yeah.
I don't need to be studied with. I'm well familiar with. If you read the whole book, The Great Controversy, you'd be well familiar with everything by and large that the Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches and believes.
Yeah.
By and large.
And what is it? And some things that Adventists aren't, you know, well versed in when we get into the sanctuary and other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so I was blessed in that when I came to church, the first Adventist I met, his name was Dale, and he's our regular door deacon, and he asked me, he's like, are you here to work? He asked me, where are you from? I'm like, Dunedin. He's like, looked at me a bit weirdly. He's like, I've never seen you before, but then he's like, are you here to worship? It's like, yeah. He's like, oh, come in. But, you know, so he kept, like, feeding me little different things. He gave me the fundamentals, and after a few weeks, him and his wife invited me round to their place for afternoon tea. So big plot in new people. Feel free to invite them round to afternoon tea. Mm. Make them feel welcome.
Amen.
And then, yeah, just getting to share with people. And coming to Sabbath school. Sabbath school's a big thing too. I love small group discussions. Like, that's the heart of church. Don't get me wrong, a sermon's good, but when you discuss with other people, we all come together as a team and we're all learning as a group. I've learned something that someone else hasn't learned, and that's a big part of it.
Mm, amen. Wow, what a journey. Yeah. What a journey you have shared with us this afternoon, and we are just so blessed to have heard it, Malcolm, and just the way the Lord led you through drugs and through gaming and through just, you know, no meaning, no purpose.
I think it must be said that I was baptized. I was still smoking at the time, but after being baptized, I was just convicted. It's like, no, you've got to change your life around. And, yeah, so no smoking, no drugs, no alcohol.
Practicing the health message. Yeah, love the health message.
Full conversion.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you're on the front lines now and you've been sharing literature as well, which is really exciting. And we're going to look to wrap up with a few more final thoughts from Malcolm after this beautiful song from Simon Amazing Grace. Awesome rendition of Amazing Grace.
Amen.
By Simon Karalski. Praise the Lord for that. That just really lifted our spirits as we are heading to the tape. We are well and truly past the home stretch now. We're about to hit the tape. We've only got a few moments left. We've had our special guest here today, Malcolm Humphreys, all the way from New Zealand, a brand spanking new Christian believer in Jesus Christ, and he just loves the Lord, loves to share. The book, The Great Controversies, had a huge impact on him. And, folk, you want to get your hands on The Great Controversy, written over a century ago, but speaking to us like it was written today.
Amen.
Incredible book, and I know that you cannot highly recommend that book enough to all of our listeners. So, and if you can't read, some people struggle with reading, go online. You can listen to the book. And they're coming out with some, I know that Hope Ministries or Adventist Media are currently, I play tennis with a young guy, Nick Lindsay, and they're putting together a Great Controversy series. I think it's a 5-part series on video. So it's coming in it'll be out probably next year or so. So to help people understand the great controversy, that they may make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and be ready for his soon return in all the various formats, from books to audio to video, and getting that message out there.
Audio books helped me read it as well. I've read as much of it as I could, but then when you go to sleep, you can just put a chapter on your phone, and you get to digest that information in a passive way.
Absolutely. So yeah, incredible book. So folk, please get out there, read it. Download it, listen to it, however you can, ensure that you take on board that information. Now, in these last couple of minutes that we have, how has your family responded? Obviously, your sister, she gave her heart to the Lord, and she's baptized, and she's, you know, a sister in Christ as well as a biological sister. How have, you know, your other two siblings, your mum and dad, other family members responded to your new journey?
So I think everyone's been pretty quiet on it, really. Initially for my mum and dad, it was the "why are you stopped eating meat" thing sort of got them a little bit to begin with. It's like, what? That's a bit weird. Like, admittedly half my family's vegetarian for other reasons, but yeah. My brother, still love him. He still loves me. Like, my youngest sister, I don't want to call her a liberal blue-haired person, but she is literally liberal and blue-haired. So I think I can get away with that one. We used to not get along very well. We definitely don't see eye to eye, but with becoming Christian, I've learned just to bite my tongue here and there and just show the love of Christ. If I had two lessons from my story, one would be, we've each got our own journey and we each take our own time. So if you've got any loved ones out there or on a different path and you're wondering if it's ever going to happen, God's timing's better than our timing.
Amen.
And we're each got our own time. And if you force it, you're probably going to force it away. My second point would be, share what you know. You don't have to have come and studied at Avondale. You don't have to have been a Christian for very long, but the woman at the well, she shared what she knew. She brought the whole town out. So as you learn, you might not think that you're big and strong and important, but everything that you do matters to someone, particularly loved ones. They're going to listen to you over someone that's a stranger.
Thank you so much for sharing. We're going to have a prayer now for you and your continuing ministry and for our listeners, and then we're going to sign off for another week. Father in heaven, we want to thank you and praise you for the way that you lead and guide. And through difficulties and challenging times, it's at the time when people are at their lowest point that you're able to reach them. We thank you, Lord, for Malcolm and his testimony. Bless him and lead him and guide him. We pray in Jesus' name, and all those who are seeking and searching. Amen. So, folk, hope and pray that you've been blessed. Next week, we've got another testimony coming up. But just remember, until we meet again, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon, and looking forward to catching you next time.
Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up, should the tears begin to start. With a prayer, all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strange. Meet him in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strange. Lead down in the light of his glory.